it's always wisdom to pray for the message. If for no other reason, it's a selfish reason that you don't get bored to tears. I'm going to pray for the message because I've been doing a great banquet up in Bloomington, and I'm a bit tired, so we don't want to do any social blunders up here by chance. So let's pray. Lord, I ask that you talk to us today. You can take the words that I speak, and you can use them, and if those won't work, talk to them in their minds about what it is to be sometimes lost in this world and also to be your agents for the lost. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about being lost today, and this is the fourth in this lost, in this bridges to God and between God and man. And I want to talk to you about being lost. And we have several scriptures, and I just kind of want to walk through them first. I want you to read with me verses 1 through 3 in Luke 15. Here we go. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. One of the things that I figured is we are to follow Jesus with our lives. And I've been eating and drinking with sinners for a long time. Some of you, actually. But I try to be like my Lord. Read with me verses 4 through 7. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now remember who Jesus is talking to when he tells these little stories. This one's about lost sheep. And we are called the flock of God, by the way. And we are so much like sheep. And we can get lost like the sheep in this parable. Read with me the next one. Now, there are three in chapter 15 of Luke that Jesus tells, and they're all parables or stories about lostness. Here we go. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the coin which I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Obviously, the coin was important to her. Following this is the story of the prodigal son. And that's the story of that son who takes his inheritance and he leaves his father and he goes and he blows it all out in the world. He ends up eating on the things the pigs eat. And the key verse in that whole parable is he came to himself. He recognized his condition. He knew that he was lost. And then he says, "I need to go back to Dad." And so he goes back to Dad, and they throw a big party at the end of that story, kind of like a banquet. Three stories, three pictures of lostness. Jesus tells stories about the lost. Let me give you one more story about lostness. This comes from the May 23rd, 1973 Decatur Tribune. This is about the lost bridge in Decatur. This is unique to Decatur, by the way. Lost Bridge hasn't always been the nice bridge that it is today with nice, easy approaches from each end. In fact, the reason it is named Lost Bridge stems from the woes that at back to its very beginning in 1857. Seems that two men who had land on the opposite banks of the Sangamon from Decatur felt that a bridge at this point would greatly enhance the value of their property, and since there was apparently no bridge between Moffett Bridge and the Spangler Bridge, which was later known as the William Street Bridge out here, one of the men had a brother-in-law working in the courthouse. So the story goes, so by some finagling and stuff, they get this thing ordered to be built. A fellow named Grubb was brought into Decatur. I mean, he was a mayor here, wasn't he? I don't know if it's the same one. No, it couldn't be. With a crew to build the bridge, which was the first iron bridge in Macon County. Everything was on the up and up, but a few people only knew about this thing. So they did this thing, and they hid it. The trees hid the work from view, and no one knew they were doing it. There were no roads down there. No one seemed to pay any attention to what was going on. And that was kind of odd in itself, because in a small town, and Decatur was a small town in 1857, most everybody knew what everybody was doing. But they didn't know about that. Anyway, the bridge was built. But to the consternation of even the board, there was no approaches to it at either side. And it seems that in their devious dealings, nothing was said about approaches to the structure. So there it sat high and dry in the air. It was then that they began to refer to it as the Lost Bridge. Finally, some approaches were made at either end, but they were so steep that a loaded wagon with an ordinary team of horses could not pull the grade, so the wagons from the other side going to Decatur either. So they started using the Moffett Bridge or the Spangler Bridge, and nobody used the Lost Bridge. And it was truly lost until 1903, and they got together and built some approaches to it. In 1932 was when the thing was really built, and it was, I don't know if anybody remembers the old bridge, this is before 1962, that it was kind of windy and twisty and dangerous, and trying to get to it was it, and not many people used it because, well, it just wasn't that good. That's what happened in terms of this. In 1962, on July 4th, they opened the bridge that we have now on Lost Bridge Road. That's a parable or a story. One more story of the Lost Bridge, and that's the Lost Bridge Great Banquet. When I moved to Decatur in 1998 and we decided to do the Great Banquet at Woodland Chapel. How many of you went to Woodland Chapel? Stand up. In terms of the banquet. Okay, just the banquet. Okay, that's good. When we decided to do it over there, we didn't know what to call it. We could have called it the Decatur Great Banquet. We thought about Woodland Chapel Great Banquet, but that didn't work either in our minds. But we were on Lost Bridge Road, and that seemed like it might be the right thing to call it, the Lost Bridge Great Banquet, because in some ways it was going to be a bridge for the lost, those who lose their way. And so we named it Lost Bridge Great Banquet in 1999 when we started it. I'll come back to that in a minute. Have you ever been lost? And you can think of being lost in a lot of different ways. You can be lost. I've been lost in the car a few times. And when you find your way out of that lostness, it's a great thing. It's a good feeling. Or have you ever been lost and somebody has found you? That's a good feeling, too. Or to get back to familiarity. And so I'm going to ask you a question right now. And this is between you and me and God. with all of us sitting here together, do you know where you are right now? I'm not talking about your physical presence. Do you know where you are right now? There may be somebody sitting here and you are basically lost. You've lost your way. You're confused about life. Things are not, well, you're just in a place where you don't know where you are in some ways. If you're not that person, how many people do you know in your life right now who you would consider to be lost? Now, you can think of it theologically. That's what I say a lot of times. Somebody says, are you lost? And I said, no, I'm just bewildered. Lost is a theological term. But you can be bewildered. How many people do you know right now in your environment that you would consider to be lost? They've lost their way. They may be lost theologically. How many people do you know in this community or in your workplace or in the world around you that you know that they have lost their way? And some of them don't even know they're lost. That's what's really kind of scary about things. Well, how does that happen? How do we lose our way? How do we get out there and sometimes we think that it's always the trailblazer. People who just want to go their own way anyway, and they make their choices, and they end up out there in the world, and they get lost in it and all that. Well, there are some people who do it that way. But we think that's how people get lost. But that's not the only way. You can choose the wrong way on purpose, but for most of us, you know what we do? We just wander off. We don't do it on purpose. It just begins to happen. And we get off someplace and we're lost. It's so easy to lose your way in this life. It really is. You know, with all the distractions that we have that go on or around us all the time, or maybe just the concerns of family life or business or whatever, and the worries that come with that kind of stuff, you know, you just kind of wander off. And it's almost like the tyranny of the urgent keeps pulling on you. And you just get away from where you need to be. It can happen in businesses. Businesses can have a focus and they can lose their focus and they wander off into businesses that they shouldn't be involved in. Families can do it too. Families can be, you know, a really good, strong identity and everything going well, and then things start happening and people just kind of wander off, and families lose their way. Relationships between husbands and wives. I've seen it too. But with all the busyness of life and everything that's going on, and if you're sitting here and I'm talking to you, I'm not calling your name. But, you know, in our marriages and stuff, you can get so far going and then you can lose your way as a couple. People get, kids go to school and one of the things that can happen when they go to school is they lose their identity with their family, and they're so hung up in all the stuff that's going on in schools, and it happens from grade school all the way through college, and suddenly they don't know who they are, and they've lost their way. We can lose our way because in our homes and stuff because of financial obligations. Because of the financial situations of our lives, just struggling to make ends meet, we can just do it, and we wander off. Just like the sheep in this parable. I also know people who are blessed with excess. They got more money, they know what to do with, they have possessions and all that. And you know what happens to them? Well, all that stuff pulls them away from where they need to be. And so they lose their way as well. I also am a pastor in a church, and we have staff here, but I've been a pastor in a church for a lot of years, and I'm here to tell you, you can be on staff, but you can also be doing the duties of your church. Those of you who are officers and Sunday school teachers and everything else, and you get so busy in the midst of doing the church stuff that you lose your way, you lose your relationship with God. I've always said, you know, you guys take care of me financially, so I'm good for something, you're good for nothing. But sometimes, you know what? I can get to that place where I'm pretty much good for nothing too. Because I've wandered off. You can get so busy doing religion that you forget and you look up and you are not where you're supposed to be. And you get lost. And like sheep, we wander off. And we do it again. Read with me again this parable of the sheep. Verses 4 through 7. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Like sheep, we wander off. I want you to think about the words. Jesus is talking here, and he's telling this story, but there's some things that he doesn't tell us in this parable. How do the sheep get lost? Was it by accident, or did one sheep just intentionally do it? I got angry from the group and just went off. Is this the first time or the 50th time? Jesus doesn't tell us. How far away is this sheep from the flock? Doesn't tell us. How long does the shepherd look? How long has the sheep been lost? How much effort is put into finding the sheep by that shepherd? Jesus doesn't tell us. Did he have to go and fight wild animals to get to it and cross, you know, rivers and stuff and a deep pit or dig him out of a pit or so what? We don't know. Does the sheep even know it's lost? That's another thing. You know, the shepherd shows up and the sheep just doing what it's doing. Does it even know it was lost? Does the sheep even want to be found? That's another question. It's not answered in this parable. What condition is the sheep in when it is found? There was no punishment. You know, the shepherd picks up and says, "Just you wait till I get you back to the house. I'm going to take a ride to you, boy." Yeah, that didn't happen. We don't know that. There were no questions like, "What were you thinking? What were you thinking?" Well, that's probably because they weren't thinking. And we are just like sheep. We wander off too in our lives. We get distracted by all the things that I have mentioned here. And it's the distraction is usually right in front of us. And that's what pulls us. And it pulls us away. We follow that distraction. And pretty soon, we're so far off, we can't find our way back. And one of the things that I know is that Satan, when he knows that you're outside and you're gone from the flock and all that, you know what he does? He'll put hedges up. obstacles so you can't even see, well, where that lost bridge, the bridge back to God is. He'll hide it from you. We're about to do the Lost Bridge Great Banquet number 100 here, which is highly significant, I think, in terms of a ministry. In the Great Banquet, in the third talk, which is called Ministry of All Believers, but in the original Ecclesia was called Priesthood of All Believers, the meaning of priest in the Old Testament, and Pam brought that up, is it literally means in the Hebrew word, one who bridges the gap. All you have to do is look around you and you can see how easy it is to lose your way. Even when you're involved in doing God's work, you can get busy doing God's work and you still are wandering off away from Him. We're called to be bridges. You can lose sight of God. You can lose sight of the bridge that leads to God, the way back to Jesus. In the 1930s, the lost bridge was rebuilt because the lake was coming, but it was used some more, but it was still pretty zigzaggy and pretty bad way, and so it didn't really happen. In 1956, they decided they were going to redo that bridge. And it got approved for a new lost bridge out here. But you know what happened? It got hung up in bureaucracy for 5 years. The new bridge to be built was lost in bureaucracy for 5 years until 1961. At the same time that was happening, Woodland Chapel was founded. Now, some of you may not even know that this church was originally Woodland Chapel over on Lost Bridge Road. The Harvest Chapel is there right now. You can see the sign. But it was founded in 1957, and it began at the same time that the Lost Bridge was in bureaucratic hell. It began as a church. I believe this, that every church is a bridge to God. You know, one of the things we're called to be is to bridge that gap between our human life and the life that God wants us to have. So every church, as far as I'm concerned, is a bridge to God. And church, by the way, is not the building, it's people. Well, the Lost Bridge was constructed, the one we have now, and came into being July 4th in 1962. At the same time that was going on, Woodland Chapel began to flourish as a church. And for about 20 years or so, it flourished as a church. It was doing. But you know what I found? Churches are like people. They can lose their way. And Woodland Chapel went into decline. They had a couple of church fights, and that'll decimate a church faster than anything I know. But churches can get lost the same way people do. And that's the way it was. So when I showed up in 1998, I found a church. If it's a bridge to God, it was lost. It was lost in more than one way. It was lost in terms of its own thinking. Because one of the things that I found out is that they had what I call deprivation thinking, which is what do we have to do to survive? Rather than abundant thinking is what can we do to be God's bridge between people and God? So when I showed up, I told him, I said, we're going to do this thing called the Great Banquet, because I wasn't going to come in with a hidden agenda. And we did all the work in terms of that, and we got started. And when we went to name it, since we were on Lost Bridge Road, it kind of felt right to name it Lost Bridge Great Banquet. And what came out of that was that bridge, that lost bridge of a church, was restored and began to flourish again. In other words, God almost built a new bridge at the same time, a bridge for the lost, where once stood a bridge that was lost. Now, we are a church that has come out of that. I know that I have about three people here who were here when I showed up, and I'd like for them to stand. If you were here in 1998 when I came, you got four of you. So you've been seen the history. You've seen how God restored Woodland. You saw how God built a new bridge, a bridge for the lost, where once stood a bridge that was lost. We should always keep in mind that as a bridge, that we can lose our way. And we have to stay focused on who we are and what we're about. That's also individual, by the way. Let's pray. Lord, in this time of our lives, where do you find us? Where do we find ourselves? Are we lost and just wandering around? Or are we a bridge to the lost? As a church, help us to remain as an open bridge for those who are lost, so they can find it, their path to you. In Jesus' name, amen.